Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be starting off this week with smart manhunting. And I know you gals out there that are single are going to be listening and say, okay, Donna, all right, I want to know all the ins and outs and ups and downs and sideways and front ways and everything I could possibly know about, because finding Mr. Right, is that something that's possible? Well, my guest today, Liz H. Kelly, is someone that says absolutely, and that's what we're going to be finding out about. And Liz, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Donna.
You're a dating coach, obviously an author, because your book, Smart Man Hunter, is telling people, women, how to find the perfect guy, where to find him, and what's next. You're also a columnist. And you've appeared on a number of national shows and have written for a number of publications like Cosmopolitan, USA Today, Glamour, and Smart Woman Magazine. Liz, I think your dedication right at the front of the book speaks volumes. I really like it that you've dedicated it to your parents, and maybe this sounds rather mushy, but not really. Your mom and dad, Ann and Phil, who met on a blind date, and have been happily married for more than 40 years. That is a great way to start out a dedication for a book like yours, Smart Man Hunting.
Well, thank you, and they really are a role model to me, and it's just so cute because they're so in love, and they tease each other, and they found the right formula, so I try to help other people find that too.
I understand that, and there's very few people walking around today that haven't gone through what I call stinking relationships. There are very few people that haven't gone through ups and downs. I know for the last 3 weeks I've been doing appearances and I've been talking with men and women both that have had so many emotional ups and downs. And some of them have just gotten to the point where they think, well, they take an attitude of, oh, you're never going to find anybody halfway decent. Not ever. This just doesn't exist. And I tell them, well, there's no such thing as a perfect human being, but you can find a wonderful partner. But they get set in these attitudes. Now, you went through a divorce, Liz. How were you able to turn your attitudes around? And won't you share with my audience your story about how you had to change your mind about certain things?
I'd be happy to. I think we've all had bad relationships, and we just have to learn from them. And that's basically what I tried to do when I got divorced. He was a nice guy. He just wasn't the right guy. And when it got down to it, we both had our lists, and we tried to compromise, and it just wasn't working. So we parted ways as friends. The divorce took 7 minutes. I'm very proud of that. No fighting over anything. And then, you know, I found out it was a totally different world, and all of a sudden there were things like internet dating and matchmaking and speed dating that I didn't know anything about. So I really wanted to find someone, and I decided to go out there and give it a shot and test things and then write about it in Smart Man Hunting to help other people who were in the same boat.
And boy, there's a bunch. Believe me, I talked to a number of them. You give a bit of information. This comes from the 2000 U.S. Census. 45%, and this is the equivalent of 100.7 million of all Americans are single. That is a whopping number. How has that changed from the past?
It is huge. I don't have the exact comparison to the past, but I know that it's like the largest percentage ever. They actually said 51% of households in the United States are now single households. So that is the first time ever that has kind of crossed the 50% mark, where there's more single households than married.
You have a statement in here from a friend of yours, a girlfriend who is 40 years old, and she said, this is the age of working smarter, not harder. We all want to do everything efficiently. Manhunting may not be politically correct, but we all know what it is. That sounds rather cold. It sounds like, you know, the goddess Diana out there with a bow and arrow saying, okay, which one's going to be the victim today? It sounds rather hard.
I think it is. Now, that was from someone who's a sales executive, so maybe she's more used to going after what she wants and making those cold calls. But I do think that, you know, it is a competitive landscape out there. I call it in Los Angeles, guys are always looking for the bigger, better deal, and women do it too. And so we all have to work a little harder to find the right person and think about our style and think about our body language. And it's not like the old days where, people were always introduced by family or they got married very young, and it's a totally different thing now.
Oh, I would agree with it 100%. I like the fact, too, that you've been getting feedback from men, and one man said that he has found this book very useful for himself because, one, it gives good dating advice, but he said he really liked the stories that were in the book, and particularly the codes to be a kind of useful shorthand for sizing up personality types, including his own. Now, that is quite a statement from a guy. There was a time when men wouldn't have even picked up anything like this. They would have said, no, this isn't for me. This is just for the women. But men today are developing a much different perception because they, just like the women, if they are going to get into a commitment, they want to have something that's real and meaningful. And I think that that's very important. What is the breakdown of SMART, S-M-A-R-T, manhunting?
Sure. Well, I came up with the acronym for SMART, and it's kind of the whole dating strategy behind SMART manhunting, which is all about getting out there and being proactive. So the S is search proactively. M is meet more high-quality men. A is assess the candidate. R is... All right, now you have to help me.
I will have to help you. How about reviewing the total man?
That's right, review the total man. And T is trust your gut, which is really, I think, one of the most important things. And when I've interviewed hundreds of people for the book, you will find out most of the time that they knew in their gut that something was wrong if they got divorced. They knew early in the game. And so it's really about you. You need to listen to the red flags and listen to those signals early and don't waste time with somebody who's not the right match.
Boy, can I relate to that. When I was in my early 20s, I ended up marrying someone, and it was such a disaster. And someone once said to me, if you had just waited a little bit longer, you would have taken off the rose-colored glasses, which was a very true statement after the fact. But that is true. Sometimes the hormones get in the way, as you so succinctly state in your books, and especially when you're younger. But I've seen it happen with women that are in their 70s, so it doesn't really make any difference. You must be willing to pay attention to how you feel. And one of the stories, you know, Liz, that I hate more than anything else is this old adage, well, sweetie, if you don't get the bus when it stops, you're never going to get another one. And I think, why is it the guys are told, don't take the first bus that comes along, check out whatever's around, and wait for the next one? Women aren't told that. How come?
I don't know, but I am all about the numbers game, and I think that you want to have as many options as possible. And I think that it makes you feel more confident when you have three men calling you and asking you out at once, and then you get to choose, and you get to pick which one's the right match, versus feeling like, oh, I'm stuck in a corner, this is my only option.
That's what I'm talking about. And so often, women, especially if they haven't dated for a while, or they've had what they feel are a bunch of people that have been in their life, they go, oh, well, this one looks like the best that I could possibly get. And they slam the door, and they just go into it, and then later on, like you say, they're getting a divorce, and they're bemoaning the misery of the moment. But they have this positioning, gee whiz, I guess, you know, either my age or I just am not meeting people, so this is the only one, and he really seems to be interested, and then they're not happy. So you're right. They need to open up their options. But again, that's not often, that's not something that's often taught. Your mother did something with you after you got a divorce, and you need to share that with my audience. Your mother's a smart woman.
She is a smart woman, and I just thanked her for this over the weekend. She took me to a style consultant, and it was one of the best birthday presents I ever got, because we sat at the woman's house in like her living room for almost 3 hours, and both my mother and I did this at the same time, so that's why it took 3 hours. But she went through each of our colors, gave us little color palettes we could take. She went over our skin coloring, what kind of makeup we should wear, and it was so helpful. And the most important advice she gave to me was, I don't care what color is in the style, if it's not one of your colors, don't wear it. Because, for example, when these bright oranges and these lime green colors have been in style, those are colors I'm not supposed to wear because I have fair, like, Irish skin, and it's just not a good match. So most people would think, oh, it's in style, I have to wear it. And she taught me, no, you don't have to wear it at all. Wear what looks good for you. And the good news for everybody out there is that you are naturally attracted to your colors, so you probably have an idea of what they are already, but I really advise, you know, do a Google check, talk to a style consultant at least one time, get your colors, get some opinions from an outsider versus a friend, because your friend is not always going to be able to tell you.
That is true. Appearance is so important because men are very, very visual. And you would think that with all of the publications that are out there, that more women would be aware of this. Now, we're always aware of how other women look, because what's the first thing we say if somebody walks into the room? Good Lord, what is that that just walked into the room? Did you see her hair? I mean, this is what we gals do. Anybody that says we don't, they're out of their minds. They've never been with a bunch of women. Because I think women always want to look good. But many times, just like you said your mom did for you, you got an education about color, but you also got an education about makeup, what to do. And I love the points in your book because they are so valid. One that, with makeup, less is more. And you just, there's just this stuff out there where it seems like the more you have on your face, when you're real young, you might be able to get away with some of this. But when you get older, as a mature woman, I can say, less is more. You don't want to have a bunch of gook on your face because it looks hideous.
I can't agree with you more. And actually, I just got complimented last week about not having a lot of makeup on, and I really think guys get scared about what are they going to wake up with in the morning if you have too much makeup on.
Where'd the face go? The mask is gone.
Men have told me that. They have said, I don't know what's going to be there in the morning if there's so much makeup caked on their face.
You know, I really think that it's important to get some feedback from men. And for whatever reason, there's been a lot of this ignored. And, of course, we get bombarded with advertisements all the time about do this, do that, do the other. But you give some tips, and it's a hot Parisian bachelor-style insights. You need to share some of the insights that he shared with you because I think they're great.
Yeah, this was a very successful lawyer. He actually studied in Los Angeles, where I live, and I got a chance to interview him about the Parisian styles, and his main message was the devil's in the details. And he said guys are watching everything. So, you know, get the manicure and the pedicure and wear the accessories that are going to add a unique look versus a store-bought look.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I interviewed American men, and they said to me similar things in that, you know, they love the European styles, and they think that all American women should go out and buy a European magazine and look at the styles. So I think the Parisian bachelor, he just kind of had that direct insight living in Paris, growing up in Paris, and it was a great interview. And I think yeah, men look at things like, does your jewelry, is it coordinated? They are checking out your shoes. They like high heels. I hate high heels. I think most women hate high heels, but men love them.
Well, they do and they don't. Because if a woman walks like a klutz in high heels, it's just totally unattractive. And very few women really walk well in high heels, unless they've had some practice. When I say that, I'm really saying that from observation. Because people, it's just what a lot of women do. There is a way of doing it. But I think a woman can still have attractive footwear, even though it's in a lower heel. That's something that she has to be aware of. She has to be attentive to. And I think the guys are right. They are very visual. There are things that really will click with them. The coordination is one of the factors. Sometimes, too, something entirely different from that. But that a woman must be aware of herself, I think, and make a statement about who she is by what she wears. And that's what's being read. Who are you? How do you display yourself? And that's exactly what they're reading. And they'll click and say, nope, don't think I want that one. Nope, don't think I want that one. It's really amazing. And we women do the same thing. We may think that, oh, gee whiz, the guys are just this way. But we do the same thing. We do the very same thing.
We definitely do the same thing. And I think your point about the high heels is important because you do want to have confidence when you walk in the room. And so if you're not comfortable in your shoes, it's going to show. So you definitely want to find shoes that make you feel good because that is really the number one turn on. If you go out and you buy all the right colors and wear the right makeup, if you're sitting there frowning, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have to carry that confidence, and that's what I spend a lot of time coaching people on. And the first, you know, third of Smart Manhunting is all about this, getting comfortable with your styles, but feeling good on the inside and the outside.
Absolutely. Now, you have a segment. And for those of you that have just tuned in, I'm talking with Liz Kelly. Smart Manhunting is the title of her book, and I think it's excellently done. And she gives a lot of good points from the guys. And gals, you don't need to be resentful of this. This is the real world. So if you're looking for someone special, you need to not just get caught up in the looks, though. You need to be aware of certain things. And you have in here a bachelor's requirement for Ms. Wright. Now, this is some guys that you've interviewed with, and you said you don't necessarily agree with what their choices were. However, there was their choices, and they have a right to them. One, that they wanted the women to be physically attractive, must have the same beliefs, ideas, and athletic interests, must be eager to please, must be intellectually stimulating, and must be mentally sound. Well, good Lord, wouldn't we want the same thing?
Absolutely.
Right. So we can add to that, though. We need to be aware of that. Well, again, we need to really think about what means the most to us. What bothers me with the guys list that you have there is there's nothing about character. What about integrity? What about being able to make it okay that you might want to be alone, you know, or do things? There's a lot of things that's missing in his list, but he's made some points that I know a lot of women would say, that's exactly what I want in a guy.
I do think there's a lot of the same things that we all want. I think, some of the differences, though, are what we talked about. Men are so visual, where I think women will give guys a little bit of a break if, they're wearing a T-shirt that's sloppy. But, you know, that's not what we would like. We want to see the guy that's all coordinated and looks good. But we give people more slack in the visual department, I think women do.
And this is something that I think is important, asking questions, taking time to get to know about the individual. And I've even known some women that have gone into doing background checks on men that they're dating.
Yes, I think I tell people, don't do a background check immediately. You might want to wait till after a couple of dates to see if you like them. Some dating sites, I know, True.com, they offer background checks as part of the membership. So if you're really interested in that, you could go to that site. More importantly, though, I think you just want to ask a lot of questions to get to know them, to figure out what they're thinking about relationships. And you have to say things like that in a very lighthearted, just curious tone. Like, well, have you ever thought about getting married? Versus, do you want to marry me now?
Mm-hmm.
This one guy I interviewed last week, he said after the third date he's getting, can I have a serious relationship with you now? Can we get married, you know, mm-hmm. in 6 months? And it freaks him out, and he has not been dating for 6 months because it freaked him out so much.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was a pattern. So I think, you know, there are ways to get the information without being that direct.
What is it, speed daters? You mentioned that before. What is speed daters?
Well, speed dating is one of my favorites. It's like musical chairs for daters.
Musical chairs? Oh,
so
boy.
You go to a hotel, and you have a event host, and she's organized it or he's organized it, and you are paired up one-on-one with a guy, and you have 5 minutes. And at the end of 5 minutes, they ring a bell, and you have to move to the next chair. Well, a lot of times they make the guys move around, and the women could just sit there, but it's musical chairs. Now, one of the great things about this is I believe that you can figure out in 5 minutes if there's any chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And I call that the KISS test. So at the end of that 5 minutes, you should be able to answer the question, would I ever want to kiss this person? And if the answer is no, then they are a no. And what you have to do is you have a little piece of paper and you write yes or no if you would like to see them again after the five-minute date. And then at the end of the night, you turn in your card, and then that event host will email you the next night with the mutual matches. So he has to say yes, and you have to say yes. And then they give you the contact information that you want them to have. So whether that's an email or a cell phone, you determine that yourself, and then they exchange it with the other person.
You have some wonderful stories in here. The Safari Stud, International Mr. Right. There's just all kinds of fun things that you have in here. And you talk also about the dating assessment dance. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I think the dating assessment dance is really all about this getting to know each other and figuring out if you are the right match. So you want to ask what I call life match questions, which are things about a situation and maybe how you dealt with it in the past. So it might be, tell me about how you like to spend your holidays. Or it could be, tell me about the happiest time of your life. Or tell me about the most challenging time of your life. And you can't ask all these questions on a first date. So it is a dance because you're gradually getting to know each other and you're asking these questions on a gradual basis. And then you need to be taking mental notes about whether or not that's a good match for you.
You talk about the red flag men. And I like your description. You've got the sly schemer, the macho mind. You have me first, man. Let's just do a brief rundown on each one of those.
Okay. So I think, these red flag men, you got to watch out for them. So the sly schemer is a guy who wants to get you into bed way too fast, and they will tell you anything you want to hear to get you in bed. So they'll tell you that you're beautiful. They'll bring you gifts. I had a guy, I had to do a lot of research for the book, and I also interviewed a lot of people, but I had one guy, he brought me a gift on every date, and he would, you know, press all the right buttons, and he was definitely the sly schemer, and I fortunately figured it out, but it's hard because you want to believe they're telling you the truth,
mm-hmm.
and so it's hard to be skeptical, but if somebody's coming on way too strong, watch out. So then the macho mind, that's the guy who's he's really the guy's guy. So he would much rather be watching football than going to the theater or going shopping with you. And I think, you know, it's really about extremes. So if you can find the right balance, you're going to be fine. But this macho mind is really kind of extreme, and I think that that's a red flag. when somebody's so into guys' stuff and they'd rather be with the guys than you. I don't think that's good.
And then
the third guy, the me first man, this is a guy where everything's about him. Everything's about his schedule. He's got to work out 5 times a week, so you've got to meet him after he works out. He can't compromise, and this is a major red flag in the beginning of a relationship. So I say watch out for that guy, too.
You say Mr. Perfect only happens in the movies, and that pretty much makes it full circle to what I was saying in the beginning. There's no such thing as a perfect human being, male or female. We're all going to have our habits, our weaknesses, our strengths, and we have to have a compatibility patterning because life is full of ups and downs. And if you really want to have a long-term relationship, you pretty much better get to know this person a little bit. I like the courting game myself. I think that's pretty neat. However, there is all kinds of factors. There are all kinds of factors that can come in that can make you feel very anxious. What would you say to someone that's begun dating someone, they really are interested, but they just don't know that it's the right thing? What would you say to that individual?
Well, the number one thing would be trust your gut and what is your gut telling you and how do you feel around them. But I think maybe some more specific advice would be to really think through, you know, how do they deal with conflict? I think that is something that we don't really talk about. I'm writing about it for my next book. But how people deal with conflict, because that's just a fact of life, is really important. So if you don't agree on something, how do they handle it? Do they work with you? Do they say, okay, you go to this and I'll go to that and we'll talk later? Or and then genuinely say, have a good time at your event versus giving you a guilt trip that you have something else you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the key things is dealing with conflict. It's also, it could be dealing with finances. How do they deal with finances? That can make or break a relationship. What about the lifestyle? Is the lifestyle similar? And then the holiday piece, I think, is also really important, how you like to spend holidays or how close are you to each other's family. Mm-hmm. I'm really close to my family, as you can tell by my...
Oh, yeah, by your dedication.
Yeah, my dedication to my parents for the book. And my ex-husband, he was not really close with his family, so it drove him crazy when I wanted to go over there once a week for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me, Liz, we're running out of time here, and I'm sorry to have to cut you off like that, but I want people to know about your website quickly before we go to break. What's your website people can go to?
Sure. If you go to smartmanhunting.com, you'll find more dating tips and fun examples.
This is Liz Kelly that we've been talking with today. Smart Man Hunting. Hey, guys, pick up a copy for yourself. It'll make you aware how you might need to improve some of your stuff. But, gals, it's important getting your act together if you want that Mr. Wonderful in your space. You need to know how to ask the right questions and how to make the right evaluations. Liz Kelly gives you that. Go to her website, smartmanhunting.com. And Liz, when you come out with your next book, you got to get one to me.
I certainly will.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. Again, my guest, Liz Kelly, Smart Man Hunting. Website, smartmanhunting.com. We're getting ready to take a break. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away now.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize customize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo posts a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and guess what? Phone lines are open. Yes, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for everyone else, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I want to take a moment to thank the staff and all of the wonderful people that I interacted with at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It's all done. This weekend was just incredible, this past weekend. It was absolutely awesome. Even though on Sunday we ended up with a deluge of deluge, I couldn't believe it. People were having a blast, even though rain was coming down in sheets. We got this storm front that came through. We just had a wonderful time, and it was just a delight meeting people from all over the country, even from Canada and from Europe that had come over, especially for this event. So it's going to be coming up again next year, and I again want to thank all of the wonderful people that stopped by and said hello and that I had interactions with. It was just an absolute pleasure. I want to let you know that I'm going to be appearing in San Francisco on the 15th and 16th of September. This is going to be the Wisdom Festival. I'm going to be speaking on the 15th, and that's a Saturday evening, and it is going to be at 7 o'clock. If you have any friends in that area, let them know, because we'll be able to chat, and I'll be doing many consultations there, and I'll have some of my books and my material there as well. So I'm going to be giving you more details as this week goes by and as we get closer to the middle of September. But I wanted to let you know about that. And then I am going to be coming into Alaska, and I'll be in Alaska during the month of October, and those dates will be given out in a short time as well. Well, I wanted to share with you some of the emails that I got from those of you that have taken the time to send me some information, and I want to say thank you. I really appreciate it. And if you have a special story or a recipe or something that you want to share, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And when I'm able to, I will use it. I received an email along with a photograph, and of course this is colorful radio, but I'm not able to give you a visual on this one. And it's about one of the most unusual gardens that portrays the American flag. And this is at the Vandenberg Air Force Base. The dimensions of this garden flag is absolutely amazing. It's 740 feet long and 390 feet wide. And it maintains the proper flag dimensions as described in the Executive Order 10834. Now, this flag is 6.65 acres and is the first floral flag to be planted with five pointed stars comprised of white larkspur. Now, each star is 24 feet in diameter, each stripe is 30 feet wide, and the flag is estimated to contain more than 400,000 larkspur plants with a 4 to 5 flower stem on each, and that's a total of more than 2 million flowers. And Ocean Avenue in Lompoc, California, the aerial photo was the courtesy of Bill Morrison's Soldier's Prayer for Our Soldiers, And this is just absolutely phenomenal. There's 9+ miles of flower fields that go all the way to the ocean, and the flowers are grown by seed companies. And, again, it's very close to Vandenberg Air Force Base. So if you're out there traveling around, it's summertime, the weather is glorious, and this is something that I would say would be a must-see if you're going to be in the area near Lompoc and the Vandenberg Air Force Base, because it is absolutely incredibly gorgeous. I want to thank Debbie for sending that to me. And then I got another email, and, hey, this is a Monday. This is the day of the week when we're all maybe going through the groans and moans of, gee, I wish I could have had the day off. I'm so tired. It's so beautiful outside. I just don't want to go to work. Well, I got this from a gal, Sue, and she said, good morning. Here's a funny for Monday. Have a terrific day. And I read through it, and I was chuckling by the time I got through it, and I thought, I'm going to share it with you, too. Oh, by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222, and I'll be delighted to give you a reading on the air. Now, this is what she sent me. This is from Sue. This is Martha's Way, and, you know, there's the cartoon about the real old lady Martha. She looks hideous. But she is a characterization that is just marvelous. Now, someone said, stuff a miniature marshmallow in the bottom of a sugar cone to prevent ice cream drips. That's Martha's way. Maxine's way, which Maxine isn't so hot looking either. She said, just suck out the ice cream out of the bottom of the cone for Pete's sakes. You're probably lying on the couch with your feet up eating it anyway. Now, Martha's way, maybe I had that turned around. Martha's way may be sort of like a famous lady's very proper positioning on this. But to keep potatoes from budding, place an apple in the bag with the potatoes. And Maxine's way, she said, buy Hungry Jack mashed potatoes mix. Keep it in the pantry for up to a year. Martha's way is when a cake recipe calls for flouring the baking pan, use a bit of the dry cake mix instead, and there won't be any white mess on the outside of the cake. And Maxine's way is go to the bakery. They'll even decorate it for you. Martha's way, if you accidentally oversalt a dish while it's still cooking, drop in a peeled potato and it will absorb the excess salt for an instant fix-me-up. And Maxine says, if you oversalt a dish while you're cooking, that's too bad. Please recite with me the real woman's motto. I made it and you will eat it, and I don't care how bad it tastes. Reminds me of what some people said this past weekend out of the fair. Anyway, Martha's way, keep celery in aluminum foil when putting in the refrigerator and it will keep for weeks. Celery? Maxine says, I never heard of it. Martha's way, brush some beaten egg white over pie crust before baking to yield a beautifully glossy finish. By the way, that does work. And Maxine says, the Mrs. Smith frozen pie directions do not include brushing egg whites over the crust, so I don't. And then Martha's way, cure for headaches, take a lime, cut it in half, and rub it on your forehead. The throbbing will go away. Maxine says, take a lime, mix it with tequila, chill and drink. Martha's way, if you have a problem opening jars, try using latex dishwashing gloves. They give a non-slip grip that makes opening jars easy. Maxine said, go ask that acute neighbor if he can open it for you. And then Martha's last suggestion here is, don't throw out all that leftover wine. Freeze it into ice cubes for future use in casseroles and sauces. And Maxine says, leftover wine? Hello? And anyway, I want to thank Sue for brightening up my day, and I hope I gave you a few chuckles by sharing those Martha Maxine moments. And if you'd like to give me a call, I would be delighted to chat with you today. The telephone numbers in the U.S. of A, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. If you're a first-time listener, what we're suggesting you do, if you'd like to have me do a reading for you on the air, is when you call into the station, just give me your first name or your initial, let me do what I do best, and then we will be able to give you some insight, and then after that, hey, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Attitude is so important in life, and it's very easy to develop attitudes, and they sort of follow us around like little dark clouds over us if they're not real positive ones. And this is a twist on a story that I've heard in a number of variations, but I thought I would share it with you because I think it's a good way to start out the week. How do you look at things? what are your attitudes? What are you projecting out there? Because what you project out is what you're going to have projected back into your life. There was a man who pulled into a gas station on the outskirts of the town. He was filling his tank, and there was an attendant that was on duty. And he remarked to the attendant, "I've just accepted a job in your town. I've never been to this part of the country. What are the people like here?" The attendant didn't give him an answer, but he responded with a question. "What are the people like where you came from?" The man's response to the attendant's question was, "Well, they weren't so nice. In fact, the people where I come from are really pretty rude." Well, the attendant just shook his head and said, "Well, I'm afraid you're going to find the people in this town to be pretty much the same way." Well, just as he was finishing that statement, another car pulled into the station, and a gentleman, a driver, gets out and calls to the attendant, "Excuse me, I need some assistance here." The attendant goes over and helps him out with what he needed help with, and then he proceeded to start putting gasoline into his tank, and he asked the attendant, "I'm moving to this area. Is it nice here?" The attendant said to this man, "What was it like where you came from?" Well, this gentleman said, "Oh, I came from a great place. The people were friendly, and I really hated to leave." Well, you'll find the same to be true of this town. And the driver was very happy. He said, "Great." And he drives off. Now, the first man heard this conversation. Heard the attendant ask the same question of the gentleman that he was serving, the second man. And he turns to him and he said, "Wait a minute. You gave him a different response. What is this town really like? Because you told me people were rude in this town." And the attendant looked at him and just sort of smiled. Said, "I guess it's all a matter of perception. Because I found with people, you pretty much find things to be just the way you think they are. And wherever is, and whatever's gone on in your life in the past, what you've perceived, you're going to take that with you wherever you go." Made the first driver think a little bit. How often do we have perceptions? We hang on to attitudes or feelings. "Boy, I've had nothing but bad luck with guys." Or, "Boy, I've had nothing but bad luck with women." We've been talking about dating earlier. If you have that perception, if those are the lenses of thought that you are viewing life through, life says, "Okay, if this is what you see, I'm going to make sure you get more of the same." It's a very interesting lesson, and it relates to the law of attraction. So as you go about your day today, think about, what are you putting out there? Are you expecting it to be a lousy day? If you expect it to be a lousy day, it pretty much is going to turn out that way, because your mind lens is going to reflect back to you exactly what you're looking for. If you do a switch, or maybe a flip, you might find things turn out much differently. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, phone lines will be open, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canadians, 888-815-9756. For everyone else, 530-876-3222. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Donna Sebo. And again, if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, telephone number to call in to, and all I need is your first name or initial. That's it. And I'd love to know where you're calling from. 877-8765-227. 877-8765-227. For Canadians, it's toll free at 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Barbara Trenton has a lovely poem, and it's real short, but I love it. We're in a fabulous month, and she says, "A sun-kissed dawning, an overflowing garden. What a gift, what a pleasure, what a treasure an August day brings." And, oh, that's so very, very true. I thought I would share with you some health secrets, and this is from the Himalayas. And, of course, for those of us that have read about the Tibetans and all of the different aspects of their history, that's such a fascinating part of the world. It seems to be a mysterious environment when you talk about the Potala and the people that have lived in those very, very difficult regions of mountains, my goodness, for thousands of years. It's fascinating, the research that they have found regarding many of the peoples in the Himalayas and how they have a level of health that is quite high. And it says it's not unusual for the people of the Himalayas to live past 100. And in the research that they've done on this, they give credit to the native spices, plants, and fruits that these people have depended on for literally thousands of years. There's a Tibetan anthropologist, Carol Dunham, that has some comments regarding this, and I thought I would share them with you. There is sandalwood, which all of us have heard about at one time or another, and it has a nice, spicy, woodsy scent. Now, sandalwood, the sandalwood tree itself has been used for thousands of years to fight anxiety and depression and to help reduce stress. And The one aspect that you could use, or the one technique you could use, is in meditation, you can use sandalwood to help you relax and go into that meditative state. And just a drop or two is very aromatic, so you want to not overdo it. And then also, Dunham says that some yogis apply raw sandalwood to the middle of their forehead on the third eye to cool overstimulated mind activity. Now, if you want to have beautiful skin, see, buckthorn is a berry, and the Nepal people use this shrub. They find that it's a skin cell renewal, and it protects against sun damage because the sea buckthorn berries have cell-healing antioxidants. And you can find it in skin creams, and this is something that's coming into the U.S. Goji berries, well, a lot of us have heard about that. It's a little red Himalayan berry that's credited with helping the people there live, you know, maybe 20 years longer than many of us would perhaps be able to experience. It's high in iron and vitamin C, but also contains vital amino acids. And you can find the juices, the berries, at your store. Now, one thing you need to keep in mind with juices, as soon as they are open, there's an oxidation process that occurs. And I learned this a while back. If you're going to juice anything, whether it's a berry or vegetables, and I think juicing is a wonderful habit to get into, remember you drink it as soon as you juice it. And if you can use those foods that are local to your area, that is even healthier for you than foods that come from outside the country or anything else, because the nutrients that are in your local area are going to be in more harmony with your body. Now, that sounds a little strange, but I'm not the first one that said that. Edgar Cayce said that many years ago, and it's in the recorded journal, and he recommended very strongly. And I found that this, it's a good idea. Why? Because you live in a particular area of the country. If you live in the Pacific Northwest like I do, or you're in California, you have different weather, you have different environments, and you have different nutrients that will be in the soil. And it's all going to be very beneficial for you. So it's just a little bit of tip to just tuck away in the back of your mind. Tummy troubles? Well, cardamom is great. Asian herbalists rely on the essential oils in this aromatic spice to help the digestive tract stay stable and to stop gas and bloating. And you can find this spice at any grocery store. All you need to do is put a teaspoon in tea or coffee and drink it about 10 minutes before meal. That's all you need to do. And then, this is something I didn't know about, was the neem tree. And that's N like Nelly, E-E-M like Mary. And this has been used in Asia for over 2,000 years, the oil from the leaves of the neem tree, to promote the healing of wounds and rashes. And traditionalists bathe in warm water in which these leaves have been steeped. But he said you can try using the products that are now on the health food store shelves, and you might find it going to be something that would be very compatible with you. Pomegranates, oh, those are the most fascinating fruits. They're messy as blazes to eat, but you know what? They really are good for you. And pomegranate juice is actually three times healthier for you than red wine or green tea. So if you find the fresh fruit and you're able to juice it in your juicer, you'll come away with antioxidants and health benefits that are just phenomenal. Do some research on this. This is really a lot of fun to investigate. And I know years ago I bought a book that had to do with herbs in the U.S., and someone had gotten the opportunity and had taken the opportunity when it was presented to them to do research with Native American tribes, and they found out a great deal about the various herbs that had been used by many healers for many, many generations here in the U.S. So this kind of a subject matter is always interesting, and we've got so much that we could learn just in the U.S., but there's things that have been known about in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in Australia, in South America, you know, all over the world. There are those components for wellness that for centuries have been used. So it's always fun to investigate them, check them out, and they may benefit you and they may not. But if you don't have a curiosity and if you're not willing to explore, you may never know what could really benefit you. And I think lots of times we're able to figure things out pretty quickly. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-867-5227 or 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we have got a very dynamic guest, Rich Dolan. We're going to be talking about UFOs. Rich is a man that has dedicated a great deal of his life to research. He is not one of these, what I call the woo-woo guys. This is a man that is very sincerely dedicated to finding out truth, separating truth from fiction. And we're going to be talking about UFOs and the national security state. So much wonderful information. It starts with the 1930s, 40s, and goes on from there up into the 70s. So he has got a phenomenal amount of research, and I think it is very, very well done. So I'm looking forward to having him as a guest tomorrow. Also, we're going to be talking with Stephanie Alexander about woman savers. This is a fascinating lady. Her site is awesome, and we're going to be exploring topics of conversation that usually are pretty hush-hush, but not on the Donna Sebo Show. We're going to be bringing a lot of questions out into the open. And then Susan Gregg is going to be my guest on Thursday, The Idiot's Guide to Short Meditation. We're going to be talking with her, and then also Joe Stepanek about vegan vittles on Friday. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people, and we've got even more special people lined up coming on, and we'll just keep you appraised of all of it. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we are coming to a point where we're coming out of time, and I just thought I would share a thought with you before we close out. Our remedies oft in ourselves do lie. Our remedies oft in ourselves do lie. That's from All's Well That Ends Well, written by William Shakespeare. Those are very powerful words and very significant words. It's so easy to go through life and to say, this was the cause, someone out there is to blame. And often, when we're in particular patternings in our lives, somehow or another, we have put ourselves into that environment. And maybe not consciously, but I even look at my own life. I look at a number of patterns that I've gone through, good, bad, or indifferent. And when I really step back and I analyze things, lots of times I've found myself in particular conditions, and I had to make a choice. Was I going to leave something behind? Was I going to carry on with it? Or was I going to say, thanks, but no thanks? It's very important to realize that we are in charge of what we think and how we act. Let me share quickly with you something that happened, and this was on Saturday. There was a young man that robbed a fellow merchant when we were at the Ren Fair, and she caught him. He was all of 15, I believe, and the security people came. She said this young man was terrified. Now, he was then taken to jail. He was a thief. Now, this is a young man that pulled an aspect of behavior out that is not good. He did that, and he had to pay the price. He was held responsible. He was put in jail overnight. He was let out the next day. This was the first time he'd ever done anything like that. What this young man did, he went back to the vendor that he had robbed, apologized to her, and said, I want to buy the item from you. He had stolen a pair of earrings. They weren't worth a lot of money. He had stolen them for a girlfriend. But he went back, apologized, and said, I want to buy them from you. And he wanted to buy something else, and he wanted to pay her an extra $20. And the vendor said to him, I am not going to take that $20 from you, but I am going to say something to you. You're very young. You seem so terrified to me. And he said, I was. She said, I hope you learned your lesson. What you did was wrong. It was inappropriate. If you have learned your lesson, I'm very glad for that. And it took a lot of courage for you to come and talk to me. That young man made a choice by his actions. And I like to think he made a choice about his life and the direction he wanted to take. You can do the same. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be going off now, but I'll be back with you bright and sassy tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo
Talk
Show.
With you at end.
If you
bye
like
for
a
now.
Copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.